The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's right. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and have a bit of fun as we study the words of the awesome men and women that God has called to direct His church in the latter days. I'm Kevin Stanfill.
And I'm Shelby Stanfill. This episode, we are talking about President Henry B. Eyring's address titled, Our Constant Companion. Kevin already knows this, but I'll let the listeners know. I was so excited to sign up for this talk because this was actually one of my favorite talks from conference. And this is also my mom's favorite apostle. So that's a little fun facts over here in the Stanfill household. But Kevin, I would love to know what you thought about this talk.
During conference or all together?
Both.
Well, during conference, this was about that time that I got a little bit sleepy. Okay. So I literally slept on this talk when it was first given. But of course, we're so blessed to have these talks distributed electronically, recorded. And so I had many opportunities over the last few months to listen to it and then the opportunity to study it in preparation for this podcast. So the moral of that story is you can always repent. And what I really liked about this talk as I studied it is the kind of like crying from the dust vibe that I got from President Eyring as he talked about he wanted to take the opportunity to give a message as he says, a brief letter to my descendants that might help them when I am not with them in the exciting days ahead. Two things struck me about that. One, really cool that he had the awareness that he would be speaking to his descendants as well as the entire church. You know, these men and women who are the leaders of the church, they have families. They actually pretty big families, right?
Yeah.
And of course, they're going to address the general church body. But this was so much more intimate because you got to put yourself kind of in like the descendants' role, right? Looking to a wise elder, right? And the second thing that struck out to me, the exciting days ahead gave me President Nelson chills about keep eating your vitamin pills, you know, keep trucking. We've got an exciting, winding up season to this dispensation.
But did you know that he actually said difficult days ahead two times before that?
Oh, I did. I did.
So I thought that was interesting. As I was reading, he says in the very, I think it's the second paragraph, he says, do as we pray and then heed the Spirit's promptings, we gain greater insights and the blessings to guide us through the increasingly difficult days ahead. And then he also says, the prophetic warning has led me to ponder what I might teach my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren about how to have crucial guidance in the difficult days ahead for them. And then he says the exciting days ahead when he is not with them. I just thought that was interesting that first it's two difficult and then it's one exciting.
And I mean, I'm not surprised at all, right? Because as I think you're probably going to share, you know, there can't be the sweet without the bitter, right? We live in a fallen world, and yet there's so much joy to be had, which is somewhat confusing to people, right? They think life is suffering, and yet there's great opportunities for us to see the blessings in the hand of the Lord.
Yeah, that was definitely what I was going to say. It's right there in the Book of Mormon that teaches, you know, we have to have opposition in all things. And, you know, just like when a mother gives birth to a child, lots of pain, but the enduring through that pain brings immense joy. So the greater the difficulty, in my opinion, the greater the joy. And so, of course, these exciting days are going to have difficult times attached to them because that is how the Lord designed it.
Yeah.
So ever more important as to why we need the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, which is the point of his whole talk to his descendants, like Kevin mentioned right when we started. And he goes right into the scriptures, and I absolutely love that. He said, I want to share the things that I've learned that may help you. And right to the scriptures he goes. And I thought that was really cool.
Definitely. Before we dive in to those scriptures that he references, I wanted to share something that I felt impressed when I was, because I studied this talk a couple of times and then I listened to it the other day. But in the same day, I also listened to a couple of like self-development or personal development podcasts. And they were definitely prepared for me to listen to in preparation to study this talk and then to, you know, to record this podcast, in so much that I felt it was expedient to make this kind of a message from us to not only those of you listening to the Conference Talk podcast, but also to our descendants, Shelby and I's, you know, direct descendants. And it actually has to do with the quote, the prophetic warning that he references from President Nelson. The warning that, quote, in the coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without the guiding, directing, comforting, and constant influence of the Holy Ghost. And I was listening to a podcast. It's called Jocko Podcast. It's a retired Navy SEAL, Jocko Willink, and he was covering an Air Force manual from back in the day, and it had to do with personality types and how personality, when they studied the personality types of prisoners of war and those who went through traumatic events in combat, they found that their personalities actually had a large factor or played a large factor in their ability to survive, right? So if they were more dedicated, more meticulous, if they were squared away, if you will, then they had not an easier time surviving, right? But they got through it a little bit better, a little bit easier, especially on like the mindset side of it. And I thought about that, and he says surviving, it won't be possible to survive spiritually without the Holy Ghost. But it's not just the Holy Ghost. It's also one's predisposition. We know that we were spirits before we came to this world. And we, in the latter days, were reserved for this time. And so our personalities are also a factor in whether or not we will survive spiritually in the latter days. And without going too deep into that, then we'll, if you're okay with it, Shelby, we'll go into this scriptural account of the sons of Helaman, because I think that those two sons their personality types and their mindset had a large role to play in their survival in their day.
Yeah, so I have a lot to say about that. I don't 100% agree. Now, we're husband and wife, so this can happen. But I think what I would just add as my two cents before we dive into the scriptures is that I believe you can have any type of personality, but it's the spirit that helps you turn that personality or that guiding light into a positive light. Because we were all sent here, like you said, we had our spirits that we already had existed. And he wouldn't have sent us here knowing that, oh, their personality type isn't going to make it, right? So all of our personality types will make it. And the Holy Ghost helps us even more, progress even more than we could have on our own.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm not saying or suggesting that there were personality types. And when I say personality types, I'm not even thinking of the true personality types that are like in a textbook. I'm talking about the more dynamic sense of the personality type of a spirit child of God sent in the last days. And yes, I 100% agree. I don't think that any of the personality types or the personalities of the spirits here in the latter days, I don't think any of them would disqualify us from surviving spiritually. But I am saying that I believe that it plays a role in our ability and our receptiveness to the spirit. Like, I don't want to speak for, you know, earlier generations, but I do believe that if any reason that we were sent here in the last days, we had to be good listeners to listen through the drum of the world going on around us. It's very difficult to do, but we can train ourselves to do it. So that's just one tiny sliver of my thoughts. Definitely could go into many more discussions, and of course. People have their own opinions who are listening too. And so, and I'm more than welcome, more than welcome those opinions as well. But yeah. I just put a caveat on that.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad I clarified that right now, because I thought it just a little bit sounded off to me, but I do agree with what you just said. So nevertheless, after that long banter there, let's read. He talks about the sons of Helaman, and he quotes a verse, which I would actually like to read because I feel like it's very important onto how this relates to the spirit. And he says, this is from the record of Helaman. And in the 79th year, there began to be much strife. Doesn't that sound like our day? Much strife. Okay. But it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi and many of their brethren who knew concerning the true points of doctrine, having many revelations daily, therefore they did preach unto the people insomuch that they did put an end to the strife in that same year. And what he says, I absolutely love after this. This is President Iron talking. This account encourages me, and it could encourage you. Helaman's sons were taught and guided by a series of experiences with the Holy Ghost. This assures me that we can be taught by and learn from the Spirit, line upon line, receiving what we need. And then when we are ready, we will receive more. So I underlined that last part, that part of his advice was you don't have to know it all at once. You can go from line to line and get what you need in the moment that you need it, and then move forward again and get more when you need it again. And I think for me, I actually went and listened to Elder Bednar's talk that he gave. I forgot the title of it, but I'll put it in the show notes. But he talks about how we need to be able, I think he's talking to a group of missionaries, and he says, we are living in revelation. Don't just sit there and need this assurance that it's from the Spirit to be able to act. Just go act, and then you will know. And he gives certain examples of his life as a missionary and a stake president and even as an apostle, of how he was just acting. And it was, you know, 20 years, 6 months down the road that he finally learned, yes, he was following the Spirit. And so that's what I love about this is don't worry about it, right? Keep moving and it will be given to you line upon line as you move forward. And sometimes you're not even going to know in the moment that it's the Spirit guiding you. However, when you are in difficult circumstances, such as Lehi and Nephi here, you can be assured that the Spirit is with you in much strife too, right? They have difficult circumstances, just like our day. And they know the true points of doctrine. They've had many revelations. They know what it is. And so they're just walking in this revelation.
Sure. Well, and there's also, when I read that, I thought of the principle of, you know, when you're given a lesser portion and you act in faith on that lesser portion, you receive a greater portion. Mm-hmm. And that's found several places in the Book of Mormon, but specifically in 3 Nephi chapter 26. If it shall so be, in verse 9, that they shall believe these things, the lesser things, then shall the greater things be made manifest unto them. And if it so be that they will not believe these things, then shall the greater things be withheld from them. And so, you know, that's where I want to push back into my thoughts about personalities, right? If your personality has, due to the world, you know, and due to, I think, the development of your personality to push back or to reject the lesser things that you've been given, and you refuse to act in faith, then you cannot receive the greater things, right? And in Lehi and Nephi's day, the sons of Helaman, you know, they had the choice to either get caught up in the strife and focus on the things of the world, the circumstances of their lives. Instead, they focused on the central, you know, idea of their lives, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ and the saving power of Jesus Christ and his gospel.
Yeah. This experience just came to my mind, but a lot of times when I'm listening to conference talks, I think, but how does that apply in my life? Right. And I try to apply what they're saying to my life. And also if you're listening, you know, I always think, okay, you're talking about the talk, but what are the takeaways from the talk? Like, what can I actually go and do? And I had this experience as a missionary with one of my companions. She was an amazing companion. We're still really good friends. And she told me how she sought revelation. So I'm going to tell you what she told me and then how I seek revelation now. And maybe it's a way you can try it. And it sounds really simple because it is, but I would invite you to do it. She told me when I need to know an answer to a question, she's like, I always begin with a prayer. It seems pretty obvious, right? I always begin with a prayer. And I ask that question and I ask the Lord to guide me in my scripture studies where I need to go or what I need to do. She said, sometimes it often comes where when I first started, I would just kind of flip open to the scriptures because I was trying to learn what the Spirit was teaching me. So sometimes I just flip open and then I would start experimenting. Like, what am I reading here? And so I thought, well, that seems like an easy place to start. Let me pray about, you know, a friend that we were teaching at the time, right? Let me pray about this person. What do they need? And I'm going to try to seek this mode of revelation and have that. And so I did that. And then I opened up my scriptures and it was amazing. It was like right there. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. And the more that I practiced this mode of revelation, the more the thoughts came of direct scriptures, 3 Nephi 26:7, DNC 108, whatever it was, right? They would come into my mind as thoughts instead of me just flipping to the scriptures. So I would invite you, as trying to have the Holy Ghost be your companion, maybe to just start by flipping open the scriptures And then as you keep practicing that, I think you'll start to get thoughts of scriptures or just names of apostles that pop into your head. And sometimes I would even just, especially when I got home from the mission, I type in the name of the apostle and I type in the topic I was looking for. And then boom, there's a talk. And that's exactly what the Lord wanted me to read. So there's these little practical things, I think, that help us learn to tune in our constant companionship of the Holy Ghost to be able to receive that revelation that we need for our lives, for our family, or for whatever it is in that moment. And that to me is a practical example of how to start and kind of where to go from that point.
I really appreciate that. And, you know, to point out the principle there, first, you are seeking in the right places. You are seeking from the, you know, authorized resources of the church, whether it be the scriptures, the standard works, and then later from the church website, right? So that's important right there. But then, and not to get too caught up on my whole personality train, but you had to be humble enough to not only try it, to like listen to what that sister missionary companion said and not be like, eh, that wouldn't work for me. Mm-hmm. I have my own way. Or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You had to be humble enough to take that and then experiment on her word, which was the result of experiences with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Then you were able to have experiences with the Holy Ghost by emulating her example, right? Mm-hmm. Which was a righteous example. It was a holy act.
Yeah, it was somebody who was pointing me to Christ.
Right. And so, and then the second principle there, I think, is that it didn't necessarily matter. Like, you could have read the same thing and somebody else could have read that same thing, mm-hmm. and you could have received your revelation, your answer, and then they could have not, mm-hmm. right? And that again shows, are you humble? Are you receptive to the Spirit? Are you able to survive in these difficult but also exciting times? Mm-hmm. Or are you numb to the spiritual impressions that will come from doing the work?
I think that brings up a good point here. I think this is kind of in the middle of the talk, after he finishes talking about Nephi's experience, but he says, we need and you will need the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost. Now we desire it, yet we know from experience that it's not easy to achieve. We each think and say and do things in our lives that can offend the Spirit. So I think that's kind of what you're talking about here. Are there things that we're doing, either ourselves, partaking in, whatever it is, that are offending the Spirit? And he says, when that happens, as it will, we may feel disapproval from the Lord, and we may be tempted that we like feel, he says, we are alone. Or we may just feel like, this is me talking now, we may feel like, man, that didn't work for me, I must suck, like whatever it is, right, that comes into your mind. Or what Kevin said, and that won't work for me, you don't even try it. He said, it's important to remember the sure promise we receive each week as we repent and partake of the sacrament, quote, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. And this, to me, points back to President Nelson's talk, the joy of daily repentance, right? The reason he wants us to repent daily is so we can have the constant companionship continually. Because we are not perfect and we are going to make mistakes every single moment. Well, not every single moment, but we're going to make multiple mistakes in our day. I got very frustrated today driving home in traffic. Okay. I was not long suffering. And so even in that moment, I was trying so hard to repent and be like, I'm sorry, help me learn my lesson. And that's the joy of repenting, because the Spirit comes in and says, it's okay, I'm going to help you out. Right? I'm going to help you get better.
100%.
And he even says, if you have felt the influence of the Holy Ghost today, you may take it as a sweet evidence that the atonement is working in your life. Hmm. I thought that was a really good quote that if you have felt good at any point in your day today, even if it was just for a second, the atonement is working in your life. Your covenants are working in your life. Repentance is working so that you can have the companionship of the Holy Ghost. If it's okay, I also want to talk about one more thing. It's at the end of the talk. He gives a wonderful story, which I would definitely go and read, about a mother worried about her daughter and two home teachers at the time it was home teaching that go and help her because of the companionship that they had with the Holy Ghost. But he says, the key for me and you is to want what the Savior wants. Our motives need to be driven by the pure love of Christ. Our prayers need to be, quote, all I want is what you want, thy will be done. And he says, I try to remember the Savior's sacrifice and his love for me. Then when I pray to Heavenly Father to give thanks, I feel love and assurance that my prayers are heard and that I will receive whatever is best for me and those I love. It strengthens my testimony. This is coming from an apostle telling us what he feels and knows when he's praying, and how he's doing it is that he is trying to get his motives driven by the pure love of Christ, which I would say, Kevin, fits into your personality thing that you've been talking about this whole time, right? When you can tune into your personality, trying to follow the Savior the best that you can, then that's great. That's going to help you.
Yeah. And as you said that, I thought it's not necessarily the personality that you think you have. Maybe it goes deeper to the personality that you really, like your true personality as a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And remembering that, you know, before you came here to this earth, all you wanted was what the Savior and our Heavenly Father wanted. It's all you were focused on. And then we got down here and we get focused on a lot of other things about our school, about career, about friends and social stuff, right? And it's easy to get caught up. And a lot of it leads to that strife that Lehi and Nephi were experiencing in their day. And as you implied, Sheldon, it's what's going on today in our current era. And so especially important now that we allow our thoughts to be the Holy Ghost's thoughts and our actions to be aligned with what the Savior has taught for his disciples and so on.
And I would just add, remember at the very beginning of this, with Nephi and Lehi, they were guided like line by line. Mm. So starting this is not going to be this big old revelation that comes. It's just going to come small and simple every day as you keep practicing, and small and simple things add up to big things. And I'll also say this, I had a friend who told me one time, we communicated as spirits for millennia before we came to this earth. So your spirit knows how to talk to the Spirit and how to talk to your Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. So take confidence in that your spirit knows how to talk to God and your body is just trying to figure it out. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get our body, our spirit to overcome our body so we can line up with Heavenly Father's will. So that gives me a lot of confidence in the moment when I'm like, man, the Spirit is in me. Eh, stop worrying about it. My spirit's probably got it. We're good, right? As long as it's good, I'm good. And so just keep moving forward. And that will give you the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discussed President Eyring's address, Our Constant Companion.
If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts. And you can find the links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org.
Conferencetalk.org is also where you can follow us on social media. drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in the episodes, and learn more about us, your hosts.
And if you want to follow Kevin and I, we do a weekly podcast on the Book of Mormon. We started in 2019, and we've done a chapter a week on what's called the Book of Mormon podcast. So you can find us there on Instagram.
But while we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves.
Yes, although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions.
So join us next week for some more personal opinions on the Conference Talk podcast.